Hey everybody, here was the situation. Pam, an adult child with an aging parent, had just been to the doctor's office with her mother. Pam and her mother had gone in response to her mother's struggle to remember things, and now her mother's complaining of pain in the hip area and stiffness when walking or dressing. It had also been resulting in her avoidance of activities. Some days, mother just doesn't dress, preferring to wear a house coat, and she's not going out as much. She's declining opportunities to be with friends and opting to watch TV, church on TV every week. Pam and her mother are witnessing many of the same things, but feeling differently about it. Mother believes this to be her lot in life. This is simply the result of getting old, and things are just hard. Pam is concerned about the pain and resulting isolation. She worries that her mother's world is getting smaller and that her independence is or has already changed into one of dependence on her. Now, Pam had to get off of work to pick her mother up and get her to the appointment. Then she had to be with her during the appointment and drive her mother back home, get her in and get her settled. Oh, but there was a stop for groceries on the way home because mother's running low on several items, a result of not getting out. And there went 3.5 hours and pay. All in all, Pam feels the concern for her mother, but the appointment was a waste of time. A waste of time was more like not good use of time and opportunity. Pam had to take time away from work, and she'll tell you time off from the job she hates and working for the boss from Hades, but that's her own doing. Pam remembers the provider's arrival into the exam room. The standard greeting, his reviewing the notes on the laptop. He asked her mother a few questions, and the mother's responses were nearly all fine and okay. Pam wanted to respect her mother's dignity and does not challenge her nor offer much additional information to the provider. This conversation goes nowhere, except for the writing of a PRN pain medication and a see you back here invitation for 90 days. Mom tries to manage the pain and still avoids dressing or venturing out. Now Pam is feeling and telling everyone that the physician did her mother no good and she has to repeat this whole scenario again in 3 months. The concern for mother and Pam's feelings of frustration are there, and they're real, as are her thoughts of their changing worlds and roles. Sadly, this is all too common of an encounter. The good news is that we as patients and care partners can fix this, a lot of it, and we're going to do that beginning right now. There's a couple of at-faults, or rather at-plays, here because their scenario is a classic case of a couple of things. You don't know what you don't know, to ask, and lack of patient participation. That's right, patient participation. Patient participation, or what is nowadays being referred to as being an activated patient. Patients and their care partners have a lot of power and opportunity within their care. They can take steps to better communicate and understand how to manage their own health, as opposed to showing up at the provider's office and expecting them to fix things. This shift in intellectual and emotional ownership is significant to the outcome of care. Now, we've all heard that phrase, communication is a two-way street. In this case, maybe three, but there are some fundamental things we can do to enhance the communication at hand and make this encounter more fruitful. In the case of Pam and her mother, they did nothing to prepare for the appointment. Pam expected to show up and have that provider fix things. But how was the provider to know what was going on? In Pam's defense, and her mother's too, the changes had just begun to occur. Mom was adapting and in some pain and maybe a little fearful. Such things were usually not talked about. Pam was just becoming aware of the changes and challenges that had and may occur, and she was just learning how to look for them. From that observation would come the ability to communicate them to a provider. However, the two of them were simply not there yet. Let's look at advantageous preparation, what can be done before the appointment, and using that preparation during an appointment. Now, in a following segment, we're going to get more in the weeds about the during part and where you can go with all those conversations and knowing what to do after the fact. But right now, welcome to what has turned into your two-part series. Some of this stuff you'll know, and a lot of it you will need. Let's talk about preparing for the medical appointment. Yep, it's time for a little thought and preparation. These are not vexing ideas, and the payoff will be great. You and Pam and perhaps her mother can communicate with the provider ahead of time. Let the provider and team know about changes or concerns, whether you're the patient or the patient's care partner. Tell them that you'd like to discuss such and such in your next appointment. You can do this by sending a message through the portal, or you can get somebody to help you with the patient portal if needed. Patient advocates often assist here, as do relatives or persons designated as your healthcare power of attorney, and with consent from the patient. Or you might call and leave a message for the nurse on the team, stating your desire to discuss and even invite a call back in response to your message if they think that would help facilitate things. Next, you're going to generate a list of concerns as topics for discussion. We're going to talk to Dr. Hoosett about that pain you're experiencing, Mom, and when it gives you trouble. Or there may be times that a mindful care partner conveys to the provider that there may be some reticence on the part of the patient to discuss these changes. To take it a step further, plenty of times a proxy with healthcare power of attorney and communicating on the patient's behalf with a HIPAA consent or regular consent, they may ask for an assessment or a referral to a specialist if the provider thinks that's wise. For example, Joyce, who lives across the country from her father, Jamal, may communicate with the provider that there's some noticeable behavioral or memory changes that she saw in her father when she visited last month. She wants to communicate that to the physician in kind of a heads up sort of way. She wonders if her father may need additional evaluation. You know, what they're seeing at home is often different from what the physician can see in the office. Early in the day when dad might be fresh, I often say that when cognitive decline is present, that a dad at 10:30 is a very different dad at 3:30. I'm reminded of one of my patients, Mr. John, and calling Raleigh. I would accompany Mr. John to his GP, his general practitioner appointment, and he would always fume about this particular provider as we waited for our time to be seen. He'd say, "I remember this doctor. He's the one that called Raleigh on me." Well, Mr. John had moderate to severe cognitive decline, and the physician had submitted the form to the state toward removal of his driving privileges. That was Raleigh, North Carolina. Mr. John was more than irritated when he learned about that, but he enjoyed telling the story of the doctor who called Raleigh on him. Now, Mr. John lived in an assisted living community, and transportation was provided for everywhere he needed to go, medically or for social outings. No matter what the changes, physical or cognitive, go into the visit prepared. Create a list of the top things to discuss. You'd be realistic to prioritize your top three, because that is likely all that's going to be addressed in your 15 to 17 minute encounter. Think of that all too brief time together as the important opportunity that it is, and be ready to have yourself a business meeting. It's not a lot of time when you think about it. In that 15 to 17 minutes, let's think about all that has to happen. Well, there's greetings and questions and follow-up from the previous appointment, bridging over to this appointment, looking up correlated data on the laptop. Physical and cognitive exams will ensue. There's a question and answer period. And then there's an assessment and recommendations. There'll be instruction and setting up any return visits. That's a lot. So let's give our allotment, I mean our appointment, the respect it deserves. Do you have a current medications list with you or updated in your portal that the provider can see? Now, you may have a list, but any list is only as good as how well it's maintained and updated. I and many suggest that you just take a big bag with you full of your medications, over-the-counter medications, vitamins, herbs, and supplements. How some supplements react with medications is a picture that your provider needs to be able to formulate. Take them all with you and let them know the dosage. Now, it may seem like a no-brainer, but have your insurance cards and the names and contact information for every provider you see. I see plenty of patients called upon for that in the appointment. Next are a couple of tried and true approaches to show your willingness to cooperate, demonstrate, and invite the provider to come alongside you in problem solving. Say something like, "I have a few concerns to discuss today. I've prioritized the most important ones for today's visit." Providers love a prepared patient. That set the stage, and the two of you can use preparation to make the best use of your time together. If you don't go through everything on your list on this visit, then please feel empowered to ask your doctor to fit you in for a follow-up visit. Fill in the details during the discussion, including a summary of any recent appointments outside of his or her office or tests. The doctor may not have a clear picture of your onset, but other related medical encounters, such as a visit to urgent care or a recent chest x-ray or blood work, can help them to know where to look to quickly pull things together for you. You may be seeing a new doctor, or maybe it's been a while. It's helpful to have your medical history available. Plenty of people keep a folder or a binder to help trigger their recall. Do have dates and information about past surgeries and procedures and treatments. Now, this will be a good place for me to mention a couple of free tools that could help hold this information for you. I have two freebies going right now, the ICE in case of emergency and the Face Sheets tool. Both of these tools are available on the homepage of my website for your review and for free download if you so choose. I recommend that we all have a care partner in the appointment with us. I may be a patient advocate and a good preparer and a talker and a note taker, but I want to focus on what the provider is asking and telling, and not formulating what I'm going to say or scribbling details of the exchange. Recently, I attended a brief follow-up appointment alone, and I can tell you, I felt lacking. Never again. Bring a friend or a loved one or even a patient advocate with you to serve as an extra set of ears. They can help you think of questions you may have forgotten and can take notes while you're talking and hearing from the doctor. The care partner might help ask the questions, prompt the questions, ensuring that they are indeed asked, and care partners can speak up and ask for clarification. So be ready yourself to answer questions like, what's bothering you? When did it start? What makes it better or worse? Do you ever think about that? Do you have those answers at the ready? Patients and their care partners can ask questions of the providers like, I want to understand everything you're saying. Will you please say that again in simpler terms? Make sure you understand everything that's going on. When exiting your appointment, make sure you know what to do if there's a question later. Do you call the office or nurse or lodge a question in that fashion, or might you use the portal messaging function? Is there a holiday coming up that may have bearing on your ability to reach the office? Providers' offices have made vast improvements in sending the patient out with an after-visit summary, an AVS. This is not a piece of paper to discard once you get in the car or throw away once you get home. No, you need to check it to make sure that your medications were properly captured and that you know what to do. Look in the section on knowing what to do if you have a question. There are phone numbers and likely email addresses to use for those communications. Your next follow-up visit has likely been made, and make sure that those are placed on the calendar on your end. I love it when I'm handed an after-visit summary and stuff is circled and highlighted for my attention. This function has improved so much in the last 20 years, and I'm so relieved. It used to burn me up when my parents or other folks would not have the information that they needed after an appointment. I'd say, so what happened at your appointment today? And I especially can hear my father here. And his reply was, she said, I'm fine. Come back in 3 months. End of story in his mind, just the beginning in my mind to find out more. Now, when you think about it, the way you made your questions in advance and maybe sent them ahead is akin to the provider's after visit summary and sending you home. You did the pre, the prep, and the providers did the after, the post. Full circle and a way to get information in between. Next time we'll enter into more detail about the actual appointment and tips to maximize this encounter. During your 15 minutes of fame, we'll talk about referrals, specialists, we'll touch on insurance, and become more aware of the possibility of hidden fees, such as facility fees. I have a sampling of tools to help you chop when you're in the weeds of medical care. An activated patient, one who is participating in their own health care, is our goal. There is much to be gained by being eyes wide open and prepared, whatever your impetus, whether it's using your time wisely, getting your money's worth, getting a response out of the doctor, meeting them halfway in your efforts to know and help you, it's all good, and we can get better at it, all of us. Thanks, everybody.